The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
Please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 5 this morning. The Word of God comes to us today by way of Luke's report of Jesus' meeting Levi and Levi following Jesus. If you would stand and read along with me Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32, I will read it aloud and just follow along as you read it with me. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, "Follow me." And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Thus far is the reading of God's Word. And may He bless it in our hearing this morning. You may be seated. Several days have passed after the scribes and the Pharisees experienced their initial shock of meeting Jesus Christ, of their personal encounter with Jesus, the famed prophet from Nazareth. This morning, I want to answer for you three questions out of this passage which we just read. Number one, what is a publican? Number two, what does it mean to follow Christ? And number three, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? So number one, what is a publican? From where did they get that name? Not from the Republicans, no. The Romans called their public treasury in publicum. In publicum. Thus, those who collected monies for their public treasuries are called the publicans. A publican is like our modern day IRS agent, but with a little bit of a twist. Imagine that China, our competitor, has taken over our beloved land, the United States of America. God forbid it ever happens. But imagine with me for a minute that China has taken over our land. And the Chinese government, instead of killing every single American citizen, they show mercy. And so they impose taxes. Let's say they have imposed 25% taxes on all our incomes, on all our inheritance. Already, that is a pretty heavy burden. But then the Chinese government turns around and sells the tax collecting business to the highest bidder in every state, in every town, in every city. Any American who would like to do this tax collecting business, they can buy the franchise from the Chinese government And so if they want to get profit to it, they can bid and pay for that franchise, and they would then be doing the tax collecting. These American citizens, when they bid the highest, they get the franchise, and so they are in charge now of tax collecting in every state, every town, every city of the USA. That's what a publican was like in those days, and Levi was a publican. John Phillips wrote that Levi was conducting his business near the lake at Capernaum. This is familiar to you, is it not? This is where Simon Peter and his partners followed Jesus after a big draught of fish, which nearly capsized their boats. I think that Levi saw this because they had to pay toll for the fish which Simon Peter and his company caught that day. And so Levi was now familiar with the message which Jesus Christ was preaching. He was conducting his business near the lake at Capernaum on the road leading from Damascus to the Mediterranean. His tax office was likely one of the considerable important ones. The publicans were usually renegade Jews whom their countrymen detested, and you can understand why they would detest them. They were considered turncoats. They were considered Benedict Arnold to their Israelite community. The publicans, they were not only collaborators with Rome, but they were crooked. Their profession was riddled with graft, extortion, and fraud. They were excommunicated from their synagogues and from their normal Jewish religious activities, end quote. And Luke captures this notoriety, their bad reputation, by telling us how the Jews easily lumped them up with sinners. Look at verse number 30. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" This lumping up with sinners, the word publican and sinners easily rolled off their tongues when they talk about the scum of the society rolling along with robbers and murderers and prostitutes. But Jesus didn't think of the tax collectors as the scum of the society, did he? Look at verse 27. I want you to notice here a powerful word. "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican." I want you to notice that this word comes from the Greek word theaomai, which means to look with attention, which means to gaze with purpose. You see, Jesus purposed to see Levi. He had a divine appointment, and that's why he went forth and saw. It is the job of God to see Levi and save him. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to woo Levi to follow Christ. It is the job of Jesus to come and receive unto him sinners like this tax collector, Levi. I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 19 and see this purpose of Jesus Christ in coming and seeing people like this publican to be saved. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is what? Come to seek and to save that which is lost. What do we see here? It was Jesus' purpose to come. He went forth and saw a publican named Levi with a purpose to seek him, with a purpose to convert him, with a purpose to save him and to free him to serve the real Messiah. And how does Levi respond? Go back to our text in Luke chapter 5, verse number 28. Levi left all, rose up, and followed him. I want you to turn to John. John chapter 1. A familiar passage of scripture to many of us. I want you to see the purpose of Jesus Christ and his own free will. He came to his own. Look at verse 11, John 1, 11. He, that is Jesus Christ, the Word, he came unto his own, that is his own creation, the world, and his own received him not, the people whom he created received him not, verse number 12, but there are many who received him, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of the will of who? God. It was Jesus' will to come and save Levi. Nonetheless, it was Levi's responsibility to receive Jesus, leave all, rise up, and follow Christ. This brings us to the second question that we have this morning. What are the conditions for following Christ? What does it mean to follow Christ? Look at our text in Luke chapter 5, verse 28. And Levi left all, rose up, and followed him. What does it mean to follow Christ? Very simple. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Our church's doctrinal statement says this about repentance and faith. Quote, we believe that repentance and faith are sacred duties and also inseparable graces wrought in our souls by the regenerating Spirit of God, whereby being deeply convinced of our guilt, danger, and helplessness, and of the way of salvation by Christ, we turn to God with unfeigned contrition, confession, and supplication for mercy, that is begging for God's mercy upon our souls. At the same time, heartily receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our prophet, priest, and king, and relying on him, alone as the only and all-sufficient Savior, end quote. That's what our church's doctrinal statement says about repentance and faith. I want you to go to Mark chapter 1, just to the left of where you are right now. Mark 1:15. Jesus was just beginning his public earthly ministry, and John the Baptist had now been put in prison. And Jesus began to preach the good news that the perfect government, in all senses of the word perfect, perfect kingdom of God was coming to a city near you. Look at verse 15 of Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And saying, Jesus is saying this, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And what is he preaching? Repent ye and have faith in the gospel. That is to believe in the gospel. Believe the gospel. This was the same message which Levi heard, and so he repents of his sins, left all, and follows after Jesus. Now go to Acts chapter 2, just a couple of books over to the right of where you are. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. We fast forward now to after the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the emboldened Peter preaches to a huge crowd at a celebration called the Pass or the Pentecost. He tells the crowd, look at verses 22 and 23, Acts 2, 22 and 23, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The Holy Spirit of God draws a dagger and plunges it in their hearts so that they are convicted of their sins. Now look at verses 37 and 38. Now when they heard this, they were what? Pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What's happened here? I'll tell you what's happened here. Repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Acts chapter 9, just a few pages to the right. Acts 9, we see here the conversion of Saul, the terrorist. And I want you to look at verses 1 through 6 of Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. What happened here? Paul continues the same pattern which Levi did. He repents of his sins, left all, and follows after Jesus Christ. Now turn to chapter 20, Acts chapter 20. Saul, who was now called by a new name, Paul, says goodbye to the pastors in Ephesus. He recalls his apostolic ministry to them, which was full of pain and suffering for them. Look at Acts 20, verses 19 through 21. Verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. That's the nature of the ministry, isn't it? Serving the Lord will give you many tears and many sufferings. Look at that. And temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. The Jews were waiting to ambush him. Verse number 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. He did everything he could to allow them to grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. He kept back nothing from them, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. And then he says in verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. What did he do? What did he preach to them? What did he teach? What did he taught them? What did he teach them there? Repentance toward God and what? Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What's happened here? Paul continues the same pattern of the conditions necessary for following Christ, and that is repentance and faith. Let me show you yet another classic example of repentance and faith in 1 Thessalonians, towards the end of the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians, just before 1 and 2 Timothy, you'll find 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Thessalonica was a major city on the coast of Macedonia. Today, a thriving community in modern-day Greece. Paul and Silas and Timothy came to this city back in AD 49 to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and establish a church of Jesus Christ there. And so when he did that, he wrote to them and entitled it to the Thessalonian Christians. And thus we have now in our Bibles today, 1 Thessalonians, look at verses 6 through 10. And ye became followers of us. He's reminding them that these Thessalonian believers became followers of the apostle and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples, that is, they were great examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. This is the region there in northeastern Greece. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything Verse 9, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye," what? "Turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." What's happened here? I'll tell you what's happened here. They did repent and believe the gospel. That is the pattern. They turned to God from idols. That's repentance. And then they put their faith in all that the Lord Jesus Christ had done for them to save their souls from the penalty of sin, which is the holy wrath of God, and from the power of sin, which is the paralyzing grip, the blinding fold, which they could not see the truth. The question for you, ladies and gentlemen, today, boys and girls, listen. Have you truly followed Christ? Have you repented of your sins? And have you put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the death and burial and resurrection of Christ? Or is what you have done a sort of followership that is like that of pressing a button on your Facebook account? Is that the kind of followership that you have of Jesus Christ? Like that of following a Hollywood celebrity or a political icon on Facebook? There, I pressed it. I'm a follower. If that is the extent of your followership of Christ, then you're not a true follower of Jesus Christ. Levi left all. His tax office, his extortion, his fraudulent business, his money-making machinery, and then he rose up and followed Christ. Well, you ask the question, did he really leave all of that? Well, the Bible tells us yes. At that very particular moment, yes, he did. But obviously, we're not told that perhaps maybe later on he came back to do his job. We're not told that. But at that particular time when Jesus tells him, "Follow me," he followed Christ. Let me pause here and answer this question. To what extent did he leave his means for living? To what extent did he leave his job? Did Christ mean for him to leave the job which sustained his family? In this answer, in this statement, he left his job as a publican to the extent that he no longer extorted people. Did you get that? He left his job as a publican to the extent that he no longer defrauded people. He stopped defrauding his fellow Jews. Let me give you my basis for that answer. Turn to Luke chapter 3, 12 through 13. Let me give you the context here. The publicans were notorious. So once they got the bid to be the ones collecting the money from the Jews, they could do whatever they want. They could add to the percentage of the tax, give the money to the Romans, and keep the rest for themselves. They were notorious in doing that. That's why you can understand why the Jews detested the publicans. And then those people who would not pay the taxes, the tax collector would hire thugs to go after those Jews and beat them up so that they would pay taxes. Here in Luke chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, we're given a glimpse of the extent of leaving the publican business. The context here, again, is John the Baptizer in his bizarre costume made out of camel's hair. That's the ancient version of a mink coat, right? With a belt of goat skin, preaching repentance. Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, meaning the proof is in the pudding. You say you have turned from sin, show me your good works. Look at verses 12 and 13 of Luke chapter 3. And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. He's talking to who here? Look at the verse before. Then came also what? Tax collectors, publicans, to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? He tells them, stop extorting people. Stop defrauding them. The Roman government only required 1% of your income. Why do you put 10% on the people? He says to them, stop doing that. And so, John the Baptist didn't tell them to leave their jobs as publicans, but told them to leave the lies, leave the fraud, leave the extortion. You were dishonest. Now be honest. Be an honest businessman. I think the case here with Levi is that he left his tax office that afternoon and goes home to prepare a banquet for Jesus Christ and his fellow tax collectors to tell them and show them what had happened to him, that he was leaving all dishonesty, that he was leaving all fraud and deception and lies and extortion. Why? Because he had repented of his sins and now following after Christ. John MacArthur said this, quote, there was a decisive decision to break with his past, then a continual pattern of following Christ. He began to experience new longings, new aspirations, new affections, a new mind, and a new will. In short, he became a new creature. The traitor, extortioner, robber, and outcast sinner became the apostle and evangelist of Jesus Christ. Levi lost a temporal career, but gained an eternal destiny. He forfeited material possessions, but gained an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven. He lost sinful companions, but gained the fellowship of the Son of God. End quote. And I think what happened to Levi was that he became an honest tax collector. And after some time, became completely severed from that type of job and then walked with Christ on a full-time basis. And do you know what his more popular name is? Matthew. And he became one of the 12 apostles of Jesus, who later on wrote the gospel which bears his name, the first book of our New Testament. And so now we look at the third question from this passage. Why do you eat with publicans and sinners? Obviously, this question comes right out of our text in verses 30 to 32. I want you to notice the arrogance of the scribes and Pharisees. Verse 30 says to us, but their scribes, that means the scribes of the Pharisees, because there are also scribes from the Sadducees sect. Their scribes of the Pharisees and the Pharisees themselves, they were outside the house of Levi. And that's significant for our understanding. They were outside. They were not inside. Okay? And they were asking this question. I want you to notice their arrogance. They assumed that the Messiah would only come for the holier-than-thou crowd. Where did they get this idea? The publicans were considered traitors to Israel who aided the Roman oppressors. They hated them for their extortion. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were the respectable citizens. Republicans belonged in the same class with harlots and the most disreputable. To have the publican in the family was a public disgrace. They have a saying back then that the promises that you made to publicans, you don't have to keep them. It was a proverb in their time. This idea comes from our innate sinful nature. This is present today in our thinking. That if God were to come and save us from destruction, then He would surely come to those who are not that bad. The tax collectors, they're the scum of the society. We, the religious people, we're bad too, but not that bad. Or so they said. And somehow, even today, we have this idea that good people go to heaven. And therefore, they're the ones for whom Jesus came. That's a bad theology. Jesus overhears the Pharisees and their scribes. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes would not even lift a foot, would not even lift a toe to get in the house of a publican. Why? Because they would become contaminated with the scum of the society. And Jesus overhears them talk this way to His disciples. Why do you eat with sinners and publicans? Well, Jesus corrects their bad theology in two ways. Number one, Jesus uses an analogy. What's the analogy He used? Simply that what? Verse number 31. They that are whole need not a physician. Who needs a physician? Those who are sick. If you think you're fine, then you don't need a doctor. Those who admit they're sick are the ones who will welcome the help of a doctor. Jesus was being sarcastic here, you know that? Why? Because if they were willing to admit, the scribes and the Pharisees were sick too. What does the scripture say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But in order to expose their hypocrisy, Jesus tells them, well, if you're fine, you're fine. But those who are willing to admit that they're sick are the ones who would welcome the healing hand of a doctor. A Bible commentator said this, the scribes and the Pharisees, they probably watched Levi in his tall booth counting his money and wishing that they were the ones doing it. You see how hypocritical they were? They were guilty of covetousness. They were guilty of jealousy. They were guilty of envy. And yet they say, I'm fine. I don't need to be forgiven of my sins. We're not as bad as this publican who showed it every day as he counts the money to give to the Romans and keep the rest for himself. Jesus not only corrected their bad theology with an analogy, but he also uses his authority to correct their bad theology. In other words, look at verse number 32. What's the first word there, class? I. He points to himself as the authority. I came not to call the righteous, meaning I am that doctor. I am that physician. And I have that authority. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he says, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. God seeks the truly repentant heart, not the hardened, self-righteous one. The truth is that God cannot save those who refuse to see themselves as sinners. Those who ignore and gloss over their sin or trivialize their sin. God can't save those people. Only those who understand by the grace of God and the convicting work of the Holy Spirit that they are the poor, prisoners, blind and oppressed, headed for a Christless, godless eternity in hell, and trust in Christ's work on the cross as payment in full for their sins. Only those ones who admit their sins can be saved. Lastly, this morning, I want to give you at least three applications here. Number one, Levi follows Jesus. I want us to look at verse 28 again. And I want you to notice a very significant grammatical structure here. And he left all, rose up, and here it is, followed him. Do you know what the significance of that word followed is? It is what we call in Greek an active participle, which means it is a continuous, ongoing action. This literally should say that Levi began to follow him. Where am I going with this? A Bible scholar said this, quote, when Levi got up to follow Jesus, it was for the rest of his life. This is what it means to be a disciple. When God calls us to follow Christ, he calls us to a whole life of faith. End quote. How can I use this, Pastor Christian? Are you a true follower of Christ? Or are you a true follower of Christ as long as it is convenient for you? That the moment a trial hits you, you're out of here. Not Levi. Number two, as soon as Levi started to follow Jesus, he did two good works. Number one, he began to worship Jesus. Where did I get that? Well, it's in the manner which he invited many people to come to his house to honor the Master, to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship Him. And it showed in the way which he treated him as a VIP. It was customary in those days that when you invite someone into your home for a banquet like this, for a feast like this, that that person was a very important person. Levi treats Jesus as a VIP, and it is an indicator of his worship of Christ. Many of you know that Mark has a guest in his house, a renter, actually, Sam from the nation of India. I think it would be appropriate to set this as an example. I was honored to come to their place one day to have a feast with them. This guy, Sam, you've seen him sit here last Sunday. He's from India, and he cooked curry of all kinds for me. He says, "Pastor, we want to honor you. You are the pastor of this church, and we want you to come and have a meal with us." And boy, it was good. Have you ever tried curry? Real curry from India? They sat me down, and they put a dish in front of me, and he served some type of curry, and then another type of curry, and then some rice there, and then some bread there, and then my favorite drink, Mountain Dew, there. Boy, I was full. But I think the honor was mine, and they gave it to me. This is what happened to Jesus in the treatment that Levi gave him. Not that the guys here worship their pastor, but the treatment that they gave was an indication that Levi now had a different life. And that is a life of worshiping the one who freed him from sin. Thirdly and lastly, he also started to not only worship Jesus, but to witness for Jesus. Where I get that, Pastor Christian? Who did he invite? He invited his friends, the other tax collectors, for sure. The thugs whom he hired. And then the Bible tells us, look at verse number 30. Look at verse 29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans, and then what? And of others, to say that there were other sinners there, like prostitutes, robbers, and so on, the scum of the society. He invited his friends. He wanted them to know his life has changed. He wanted them to know that Jesus forgave his sins. He wanted them to know that Jesus has made him a new person. Hey, can I ask you this? Are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? Does it show in your worship of him? Does it show in your witness for him? Levi was a true follower of Christ. Do you know what happened to Levi? He transitioned completely out of the tax collecting business and became a full-time disciple of Jesus Christ. And as we've already noted, he went on to write the gospel, which bears his name, the book of Matthew. We're told by John Fox in his classic Book of Martyrs that after the ascension of Jesus Christ, he continued preaching the gospel in Judea for about 9 years. That's when he wrote his gospel in Hebrew. For the use of the Jewish converts, it was afterwards translated into Greek by St. James the Less. He then went to Ethiopia, ordained preachers there, and established churches there, and made many converts. Afterwards, he went to Parthia, modern-day northeastern Iran, where he had the same success. But returning to Ethiopia, he was slain by a halberd. That's a combined spear and a battle axe in the city of Nadabar, Ethiopia, about the year of the Lord, AD 60. You see, Jesus says to him, "Levi, be following me." And Levi responded, he repents of his sins, he forsakes all, and continuously, ongoing, follows Christ. How about you, my friends? Are you following Christ continuously? Let's pray.